excuse me for my voice, but I have never, never seen anything like it.
Hey, now, if we wanted to hit mailboxes, we could let Ralph drive. We're the best
of friends. Moron, your bus is leaving.
Welcome to this UC Davis edition of the On the Road Home podcast. This is Ken Crawford reporting to you after the UC Davis game on September 4th. I apologize for the higher than normal noise level here. I'm actually doing this podcast today on Amtrak. For various logistical reasons, my wife and I had to go our separate ways after the game, and I'm heading home to Roseville via train. But we'll make do. So the Bears kicked off the season with a 52-3 win over UC Davis. Not much of a surprise in the big picture. I mean, it's a FCS team that is getting better every year, it appears, but really is not in the same category of teams as a BCS team like the Bears. And they did put up a noble fight for a little while, but eventually could not hold with talent on the Bears' side of the ball. Quick recap of the game. Things started out slow. UC Davis got one first down on their first drive, and the Bears got a couple first downs on their first drive before Riley fumbled the ball in a standard beginning of season mistake that plagues all teams as you're getting the kinks out. The Aggies then went three and out on their second drive before the Bears converted for a touchdown on their second drive. And that actually took the better part of the first quarter. So the first quarter ended with the Bears up 7-0. But they really extended that lead in the second quarter to 35-0 at halftime. And then finally the 52-3, the shutout being avoided by a couple of good plays by UC Davis on a drive that was on the shorter side due to a kickoff penalty on Cal. The first thing I'd like to highlight today, actually, is the facilities changes. We all know that they're in the middle of renovating the stadium, and things are kind of, in a one sense, in a stall state while we're waiting for the season to be over so that they can start on the stadium renovations in full. But what I didn't expect, and was a huge improvement, was that they would have ripped out all the office space around the concourse. And having that done, and all of the portable bathrooms now in that area, and a ton more space on the upper concourses, to be honest, was a huge improvement. If you just give me that, I'm a relatively happy man. I'm not somebody who cares a lot about the facilities. And the biggest problem at Berkeley is how crammed everything tends to be. And having that additional space was a huge benefit, having bathrooms close that are, you know, actually available and not overflowing with people was a huge benefit. Really, it's a big change, and it was something that was not talked about at all. I mean, they talked about the bigger walkway and how they'd have easier access than last year, and indeed that was helpful and nice and made people flow more easily than in past years, but the concourse being gutted and completely open and now having a 40-foot wide concourse, admittedly with some obstacles in it for the stairwell holes and stuff like that, but and then the bathrooms there close to the seating area was a huge benefit. And frankly, I'm really a lot more optimistic about the facilities this season after seeing that. Anyway, that was the first thing I noticed when I came in. I was like, holy smokes, this is a big change. But onto the game, I think obviously the first thing to talk about is Keenan Allen. He had an awesome game. We had a lot of high expectations for him, but you know, the wise people know you want to temper those. Not everyone is going to live up to their five-star status, and he lived up to it and more. He's big, he's fast, he's not easily tackled. If he listens to this podcast, one thing I would say is please hold the ball a little bit tighter. I know you're used to high school where people don't rip it out that effectively, but you hold the ball a little bit loose and it will hurt you eventually. potentially when playing teams of higher caliber who will always be going for that ball, and you need to be keeping it close to your chest and not running so free with it. But an amazing wide receiver. He already started getting some opportunities in the return game that he didn't really make that much of, but clearly the sense was, with how well he was working out, how quickly, that we're going to see him more and more prominently. And I think this is a huge improvement and a huge addition to the team, exactly the sort of wide receiver we needed to complement Jones on the other side. Jones is continuing his habit of having extremely good hands catching the ball. I was very impressed with him today. He had that incredibly great catch while he was being downright molested by the defensive back. And I think that really is what sets him apart, is that it's not just that he extends for the ball, it's that it doesn't matter who's all over him. He's going to catch that ball. He's not just going to get a 15-yard penalty. He's going to get the 40 yards from the full pass, and that was really great to see. So the two of them are looking great. And then you add Jeremy Ross, who did an amazingly good job today as a returner with a number of good returns and showed the same kind of presence when he was a receiver as well. And that is a great group of three. Those three, I think, really are going to take this receiving game to the next level. And if there's one thing I take away from this game, it's that we have a receiving core that we should be excited about. The receiver who isn't exciting, and I think I finally have to give up my hope for him, is Michael Calvin. For whatever reason, this guy just is not progressing. A couple times he was throwing the ball today, he didn't come back to the ball, he got it broken up, not doing the right things. And for whatever reason, even though his fundamentals are good, he just doesn't have that it factor. And you're going to see less of him as the time goes on, and you're going to see more of people like Laudner and Ladner and others. On the other side of that ball, Riley actually looked pretty good today. It's really hard to judge these things when you're playing a team like UC Davis, but he was making good reads, he was finding the right receivers, and so overall you had to look at that and say, he looks on the right track. Now, I felt the same way at the beginning of last season, and in the end he didn't really make the big leap, but at least there's hope. He seems to have confidence, and there's nothing negative that came out of today. It was all positive, so there's at least some hope. Then between the receivers and then the tight ends, which I'll get to next, if he's going to have a pretty good stable of people to be throwing to, and I think the final piece that is still kind of a question mark is the line, but I'll get to that in a bit. On the tight end front, Ladner and Miller look like a great combo. We saw a lot of two tight end sets today, and it's no surprise. Both of them are the real deal. They block well. Ladner gets out out into his routes very well, even though he seems to be a primary blocking type tight end. Miller is running pretty good routes. He catches the ball well. Those two, I think, are going to be a big asset this year. And so when you add the three wide receivers and the two of them, you got five people who can get their hands on the ball. And Laudner and Miller are also going to be great, are going to be a help for the offensive line. We can have seven guys out there blocking, and that's a big help, particularly when your offensive line continues to look a little on the mediocre side. I mean, let's be honest, they didn't exactly overwhelm today. There were times they did well, but they were not just dominating. And that's the kind of thing you need in a game like this, because when you get to a team like USC and you get to a team like Arizona that really are going to bring the heat, you need to be playing a lot better than they did today. It's not that they're necessarily going to be bad. It's just that they might be mediocre again, and we might not get enough time to throw, and Marine might not have enough time to run. So I didn't see anything today that really impressed me. Now, we didn't have Matt Summers-Gavin out there. I wasn't following offensive line numbers and assignments very much, so I didn't even see how much he played. I almost kind of hope he didn't play much, because it would be sure nice to know that we have that potential coming back someday soon. On the defensive side of ball, I was pretty disappointed with the defensive line. They got two sacks eventually, but they didn't bring a lot of pressure and a lot of heat. It was pretty disappointing to see them not deliver to the level I hoped. I had a lot of optimism for them, and really, I mean, they didn't let big runs bust out or anything like that, but particularly in the passing game, they weren't providing continual pressure, the type of pressure I really want to see out of those three. Now, the scheming was good. I saw a lot of blitz schemes, saw a lot of confusing blitzing schemes, and they did force UC Davis to get rid of the ball a lot quicker than the other was would like. And actually, that's one area where I really have to give my hats off to UC Davis. They ran at a level of precision that really impressed me. They got rid of the ball quickly. That redshirt freshman did not have any trouble with making reads or deciding what to do. In fact, it wasn't until they got to their backup quarterback that you could start to see that kind of uncomfort that comes with playing in a tough environment against a much better team. But the redshirt freshman, when he saw the heat coming, he got rid of the ball. He did the right things. He rolled out. I was very impressed with him conceptually. At the same time, good quarterbacks do that, and the Bears need to be forcing even those type of quarterbacks to look uncomfortable and be frustrated with the lack of time they're getting and how quickly the heat is coming at them. So, a bit disappointed in the defensive line. At the same time, I was more than impressed with the secondary. They looked pretty darn good to me. I thought that Mark Anthony really has come into his own. Boy, did he look good. I mean, maybe he just needed some time to make the jump, but something happened between last season and this season, and he's looking like the real deal. He's looking like a player who 2 years from now we'll be talking about as the strength of the secondary. And Hagan seems to have gotten some of his mojo back. He was playing a lot more consistently, and you know, you didn't see him off the ball a lot. He was where he needed to be the vast majority of the time. But the player who really impressed me was Chris Conte. He has made the full transition from cornerback to safety. He looked confident. He was in the right places. He was hitting hard. He had that slipperiness and that deception that keeps a quarterback a little nervous. I really think, actually, he's going to be the linchpin of this defense. And I know for some people who have hated him as a cornerback, that's hard to hear. But I really think that safety might be the position for him. And we've had him at the wrong spot now for a few years. And moving him to safety has been a great thing because I think he did an exceptional job today as a safety. At least that was my analysis. I mean, if you get in deeper, you might see things that are more frustrating. But as a whole, that secondary group looked very good to me. I'm sure when they faced faster wide receivers and more deception in the passing game, they'll be challenged more. But overall, I was pretty impressed with them. The linebackers looked serviceable. They didn't look incredible, but they didn't look horrible either. Of course, Muhammad is still who he's been. The one who probably disappoints me the most is Keith Browner. I have a feeling he's going to get replaced some point during the season, that Price or Davis is going to fill in that role in the long term. But he didn't have what it took. He doesn't have what it takes. There was a couple of times he should have been in on a sack, and he just got practically juked out of his cleats by the quarterback. I mean, he's not bad. I don't want to just rip on him, but he's not the type of person that's going to get to the next level. And being a senior, that's kind of where you're at. You're like, well, he didn't make the step, and so we'll see if others can come in and take that spot from him. But the other two, Kendricks and Holt, played fine. I mean, I saw some of Price and Davis, and they seem to be playing fine. But they just don't overwhelm. There's nothing really impressive there. Maybe as the season wears on, they'll get better. But I didn't see something there that just popped out at me that said they're great. But Muhammad is obviously very, very good. And as always, I'm impressed with him. On special teams, Tavecchio's getting better. You know, he had one or two kickoffs that only got to the 10, but the vast majority of them were down well inside the 5. He's getting good hang time on those balls, and he seems to have a lot more confidence in his kicks. So I think, actually, he'll do pretty well. I was a bit disappointed that Tedford went for it on fourth down a couple times in long field goal range. I mean, the Bears were winning. There was no need to, you know, do something risky. And it was a great opportunity to test your field goal unit. Why wouldn't you test them to see how they're doing? And it would have been nice to see if Tavecchio get a couple more opportunities than that chip shot that he easily made. Of course, he got plenty of shots at the extra points, but nobody worries about those. But the coverage was very good. I saw good lane coverage. I saw breaking up the wedge very well. I saw a lot of good things that made me feel better about our kickoff unit. And I think we're going to see a lot more balls around the 20 than around the 35 like we have in recent years. But I think the real story of the special teams, of course, was Jeremy Ross. I mean, he's looking stout. He's looking really, really strong. There's no other way to say it than he impresses. He's put on a lot of muscle in the last year. You can see it from 40 rows up. I really think we're going to have an exciting year with him returning the football, and I think he's hitting his stride as a returner. So I'm pretty excited about him as a punt returner. As for the backups, you know, we got to see a lot of them today. It's one of the really neat things about these early games against weaker teams is that you get to see a lot more backups than you otherwise would. And a lot of them impressed, some not so much. EC Sofelli, wow, he made a huge jump. I mean, I was talking about how much I love DeBosky and the blog, and no, I know why Sofelli is the number two guy. He's running between the tackles well. He's hitting the gaps hard. He's staying on his feet a lot better than he is in the past. He really is looking strong. So I very much know why he's the number two and feel very confident in him. It's also worth noting that Yarnway pretty much is above DeBosky now. I really don't know what happened to Debo. I mean, he looked so good last year in practice, but the few attempts he got today, he looked subpar. Maybe he's getting over some sort of an illness or something, or has a minor injury that's not being reported, but man, I just don't know what happened to him. I had so much hope and confidence that he was going to be an exceptional back, and he's getting passed up. Looks like other players in the lineup are excelling, and he's kind of going backwards, so it's a little bit surprising. Of course, we saw a lot of Sweeney, but we didn't see a lot of Sweeney throwing. We saw a lot of Sweeney scrambling, and sure, that's kind of nice. You know, we're so used to these quarterbacks who are so immobile, and so it's kind of fun to see one who can scramble well, and he did a great job scrambling and, you know, kind of had a little energy going there because of it. But that's not going to impress Tedford, and it's not going to win football games as a starter. And I don't know, it didn't impress me much, because when you're scrambling like that, sure, there are times where the play breaks down and that's all you can do. But a lot of times it also means is you're not doing the reads right and you're not finding the right place to throw the ball, and now you're improvising. So a little bit disappointed with the performance of Sweeney. But, you know, he's not our starting quarterback. I think he'll have more opportunities to get better. You know, another player who really impressed today was Eric Stevens at fullback. He's just coming a long way. I mean, he's blocking pretty well. He had the one play where he was in the wrong spot and Riley had to kind of chew him out before the play, and then the play totally didn't work. But, you know, he's still young, and that's part of why, you know, you don't play your first year very much, as Stevens didn't last year. But, you know, he was catching well out of the backfield. He broke a couple tackles. He's blocking pretty well. I think this is really the future of our fullbacks, and I still think we'll see a lot more two tight end sets than fullback sets, but still, there's a lot of hope there. I think he's someone who can do well for the team. So, where do we go from here? Obviously, we got Colorado coming to town next week. That's a far bigger game than this week, although still not one that worries many people, including myself. So, not sure what to make. You know, the real big test is clearly going to be when this team goes to Arizona in 3 weeks. Until then, I really don't get the sense that either Colorado or Nevada is going to challenge them, and they're really not that great of teams. So the important thing I think that needs to happen is this team needs to keep getting better. They need to learn their mistakes from this week, and they need to do everything in their power to be ready when the Pac-10 season comes calling to play against those top caliber teams. I saw a lot of rhythm developing on offense, and it makes me optimistic that by the time we go to Arizona, we will have a lot of rhythm. I saw a defense that mostly had confidence, mostly knew where they were going, didn't have a lot of indecision and questions in their heads as they were making their reads and their plays. And those things are only going to get better as the weeks go by. So there's a number of reasons to be optimistic. Am I more optimistic than I was before the game started? In some areas I am. I think the wide receivers give me a fair amount of hope I didn't have before in the passing game. But across the rest of the board, between the mediocre offensive line and the lack of defensive pressure, there's still a lot of areas that make me fearful that this isn't a team that can break through to that Rose Bowl caliber team that we're all hoping for. That the 9-3 that I predicted for the season is really, what we should be hoping for, not what we should be disappointed in. But it may be that the offensive rhythm that we get from a great receiving core will make a huge difference. It may make the offensive line's job easier, and, well, we'll see. So that's going to wrap up this edition of the podcast. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. I'm sure Jason and I will have a midweek podcast with our thoughts of the upcoming opponent. And until then, thank you for listening, and go Bears. On the road again.